Hey everyone, I'm Devin.
And I'm Asia, and welcome back to
On Their Behalf. Is that a snake plant behind you? Because that looks amazing. It is so luscious.
Yes, that is my, I think it's a him. I always like name, I name my yes. plants. And I just kind of feel them and get a vibe on like what it is. But I have not named this one yet, but I'm having trouble keeping some of my plants alive. However, I have been out of town for like 3 weeks.
Well, that might do it.
That might do it. But I'm trying to bring a couple of them back to life. This one that's on my desk is,
That's gone.
Yeah. But like, there's like one part right here that seems like,
yeah, you could, cause that's a little succulent for those of you who are not seeing.
Yes. It's a succulent.
Yeah. What I'm saying, which is everyone. Yeah. But you could try to like snip it and then replant it if you wanted to. That usually works okay with that. But did you water that from the top or from the bottom?
How do you water something from the bottom?
If you, is it in like a lined thing inside? Like, can you lift it out? So, yeah, see, there's holes in the bottom of that little like liner, and you just fill a bowl with water and let it sit for like 10 minutes. And it'll suck it up from the bottom because that kind of succulent, if you water the leaves, they just like die. So it has to go from the bottom.
You know, all the fucking stupid shit I learned in school. And I didn't learn that.
Nobody knew. Houseplants 101.
Yeah.
Would have been the most popular class.
But this one's from Trader Joe's, so I'm, you know, this was a Trader Joe's, I feel like, has a, you know when you're leaving a store or going into a store and you're like, oh, there's just like little things that you could buy that are like not that expensive and they're just like by the register type thing. That's what they do with their plants. Their plants are like always.
And but I always this one, get plants and flowers. And then
Every time.
But their plants are not good. They just die.
Yeah, but they'll take them back.
What? Dead plants?
Yeah, you can return them and they'll give you a new one. They'll take anything back.
What?
You can even try something, be like, I'm buying this to try it, and they'll be like, okay, cool, if you don't like it, bring it back.
What?
And anything in the store that you want to try in the store, as long as it's not like, there's a lot of things that they will let you try anything. If you're like, this is a new item, can I try it? As long as it's not like a frozen item, because they're not going to like heat something up for you. Well, especially now because of COVID, don't do that. But if there's anything in the store that you want to try beforehand, they will open it and let you try it.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So this plant is going back, but also Home Depot does the same thing. If you have a receipt, Home Depot will return a dead plant up to a year.
What?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I actually have a plant that died that's out on my balcony that I got from Home Depot right before I left. And the reason is because I didn't know I was going to be gone for that long.
That's
like,
true.
It was a very spur of the moment trip. Like, I bought the flight the night before and got on the flight that like 6 hours later. So I didn't really have time to like make sure everything was like properly watered. And then I ended up being there for 3 weeks. So it died, and I have my receipt. I'm going to bring it back, and they'll take it and give me either a new plant or a credit.
Oh, my gosh. That's... Mm-hmm. I'm going to save so much money.
Yep. So, by the way, this podcast is now a plant...
This is the plant podcast.
Plant podcast / Trader Joe's and Home Depot tips.
Yeah, on behalf of corporate plant stores.
Yeah.
That's what
this is. Welcome. We're so glad you're here.
filling in the millennial hole in our hearts with houseplants.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of holes in the hearts, not actually physically, but just emotionally. I don't know. That was not, you know, I'm not good at segues.
Segues are not great, but you know what?
My thing.
Either way, a hole in the heart is really depressing, so I have a feeling you're going to tell me something depressing.
Yes. So this week is my turn to discuss a case, and this is one that I actually have been I've had it pinned since season one.
Oh, really?
To talk about it, and I never, like, It never quite, like, was the right timing, I guess. I don't know why now is.
Okay.
But I do want to flag that it is particularly brutal and gruesome. So, you know, not that the other ones we talk about aren't, but
yeah,
this one is, like, it's why it took, it's not kids.
Okay, well, good. We can
talk about it. Well, it's just why it took me so much longer to to do it, I think, because it's just it's horrific.
Okay.
So this week I am discussing the case on behalf of Junko Furuta. So, Junko Furuta, I believe that's how you pronounce it. This case takes place in Japan. I don't speak Japanese except for, like, a little bit on Duolingo here and there. So, I'm going to, like, butcher all of that. But I will do my best.
Mm-hmm.
So, Junko Furuta was a Japanese high school student. She was born January 18th, 1971. And she was the middle child of three with an older and a younger brother. So she was the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Junko was born in the city of Misato in the Saitama Prefecture of Japan, which I looked on the map and it's like right outside of Tokyo. And in 1988, that's when this is all taking place,
okay.
Junko was a senior at Yashio Minami High School. Again, right outside Tokyo. She was pretty and popular and a sort of typical good girl, like, quote unquote, because we could unpack what that means. But
mm-hmm.
Basically kind of like on the straight and narrow and like did everything like that was expected of her. And she didn't drink or smoke or curse. She had good grades and was on, you know, a good path. And she was making plans for after graduation, and she had accepted a job at an electronics retailer, which in my mind in like 1988, I'm picturing like Radio Shack or like a Samsung store, something where it's like not corporate, but
yeah, still, oh my God, Radio Shack. Damn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 1988, maybe it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it's a good job, but it's not like, like CEO level.
Yeah.
Anything,
yeah, it's
but
not
still,
like, you know,
room for
supplying fortune to the family or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But room for advancement and for like right out of school, a good job.
Yeah.
And while she was still in school, she even worked part time at a plastic molding factory, which I don't know if that means like it's molding for like a house made of plastic or it's like a factory that shapes plastic into certain things. I don't know if it makes a difference, but I wondered about that and I don't know.
Okay.
But so she had like a, you know, she wasn't afraid of work.
Mm-hmm.
So basically she was like good and smart and capable. She didn't really come from money. The neighborhood that they lived in was like pretty modest. Junko was also very pretty, but she wasn't really interested in dating. Mm-hmm. Some of, like, the, you know, edgier or, like, what I'm sort of imagining, like, stoner kind of, like, 80s cool kids, which really today translates as, like, loser negative people, saw her as, like, a goody two-shoes. So she was, like, to adults, she was, like, the ideal student, but I think she was a little, like, outside of like the cool social aspect of it, but
mm-hmm.
So one of those like cool, quote unquote cool, which I say like very sarcastically, kids was named Hiroshi Miyano, who was 18 at the time, and he had a crush on her. And Hiroshi,
and she was 16. You said
she was 17.
17. Okay,
so that's why I was like, it's kids, but it's
yeah,
like, you know,
but
higher
not
end of
yeah
the kids. And Hiroshi was like one of those like tough guys, right? Like mm-hmm. macho and like leaned on like intimidating people to get his way. That kind of thing. And Hiroshi asked Junko to go out with him and she said no. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like imagining like Biff and Lorraine from Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that is the vibe I'm getting from this.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for any way to make this fun because it's
not
fun at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, when she says no, like, of course, what does rejection and toxic masculinity get you? Nothing good.
Absolutely nothing.
So, what Junko didn't know, and it honestly is like even more of a reason for her to say no to him. Maybe she did know, but I, you know, it's kind of hard to say, is that Hiroshi is what is called a chimpira, or a low-ranking Yakuza member, known for being very young and very rude. And because of this, and because of, like, that protection that, like, the Yakuza gave him, or, like, the reputation of being Yakuza gave him, Hiroshi was in the habit of robbing people, beating people up, and habitually raping women.
Oh my God. Okay, so it's like kind of like a gang type situation.
I'm gonna break down the Yakuza a little bit.
Okay, because I'm like, well, what the hell is that? Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like when I bring up Yakuza, people either like have no idea or like know a ton about it.
Okay.
Which I actually like am super fascinated by them. Okay. So I love learning about them.
Yeah.
But it's scary. Okay. So the Yakuza is basically, or in English we say the Yakuza, but it's really just Yakuza.
Okay.
They are the members of the organized crime syndicates from Japan. And there's not just like one, there's a bunch, but the Yakuza is just the phrase for anybody involved in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to like talk about a little bit about what they are all about, but not like totally get into it because it's not totally relevant. But I do want to acknowledge that they cause a lot of damage and a lot of pain. But I also still want to be sensitive about it because a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about is they're like practices and traditions which date back to the Edo period, which is really like steeped in a lot of culture. So I don't really want to like guffaw at this stuff or anything, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, of course.
It's like a very tricky kind of line to walk.
Yeah.
So the Yakuza themselves have a lot of different names that they call themselves, that other people call them. Like the police call them Boryokudan or violent groups, and Yakuza themselves call themselves Ninkyo Dantai, or chivalrous organizations. So like total opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna keep saying Yakuza because I'm not gonna, I don't have a dog in this fight. They have a strict code of conduct, which is really interesting, and it's a very hierarchical structure and a very clear sort of like mapping out of each sort of little court or kingdom and the territories that they control and who's in charge. Mm-hmm. They also have ritualistic practices that date back like so super far back. One of them is Yubitsume, where you basically like cut off portions of your pinky as penance if you fuck up.
Ugh.
Which comes from, this is a really, and that's one of like the telltale signs. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting because in the old days when this was first developing, the swords that people would carry were had long handles where you controlled most of them with your ring finger and your pinky held most of the weight, and your first two fingers were a little bit looser. So if you weaken your pinky, you have a weaker grip on the sword, which means you rely more on the group to protect you. And usually, like, the Yakuza is so group-focused that mm-hmm. if you step out of line, it's out of individual interest versus group interest. So the penance is to make you more reliant on the full group.
Got
which
it.
Which is just fascinating.
Wow.
I love
that is a whole lot of stuff. Holy yeah. shit. Okay.
So, and even now today, Yakuza members have taken to wearing prosthetic pinkies because it's a giveaway to the cops whether yeah. or not they're involved.
They're involved in the yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And like visually, I think, you know, in media and everything, we see the men, it's mostly men wearing, you know, really sharp suits, like slick back hair, mm-hmm. Expensive stuff, like being like cool and sharp and dapper, but always like their necks to their hands and down to their ankles covered because the rest of their bodies is covered in tattoos. And it's actually why tattoos in Japan are really frowned upon and sort of all over Asia, really, it's not.
Yeah.
I think in Korea they're illegal.
Wow. Okay.
Because this is how much it identifies with Yakuza. Uh-huh. And the height of the Yakuza power was in the 1960s, but there was a sharp decline as more and more money-making opportunities became available for people of lower income, which is usually where they got their members from. Mm-hmm. So while they still engage in like criminal activities and generally like have a very scary and intimidating reputation around Japan, it's not actually illegal to be part of the institution, and mm-hmm. it's recognized as a legitimate organization by the Japanese government. Which, so it's like, it can exist, but the stuff they do is illegal.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, I have a little bit of trouble like reconciling that, but okay. Mm-hmm. But
well, didn't I mean this could so expose me of like actually not knowing the history of my own, you know, people, but didn't at one point the KKK even be legal at some point, but it was just like some of the shit that they were doing was being regulated?
That's a good question. I don't know if yeah, I wonder if like actually the is like the KKK illegal now?
Yeah, like I don't know if the actual organization itself is illegal, but of course if they do anything criminal,
right,
then at that point it's like the actions are illegal, yeah. But the actual organization itself, like, does that fall under a certain like freedom of speech and a freedom of whatever, yeah. religion, whatever, if you want to call it that, but like
yeah, it's yeah. It seems like a similar idea, except yeah. I mean, I think I don't know about like Japan's freedom of speech laws mm-hmm. or anything.
Yeah,
like
what
that.
They're yeah.
But this I'm getting the vibe that it's more of they've existed for so long and they're like a cultural establishment mm-hmm. for them that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. But it also they're also the Yakuza also is one of the best like providers of aid after natural disasters, because they have all this money, helicopters, all these resources, and they don't have to go through any bureaucratic red tape. So after like Fukushima, they were the first people yeah. on site helping people in the area, which is
yeah,
like
yeah.
That's
the KKK
why
KKK doesn't do that shit.
No.
Never mind.
No. They don't. But they're I would say they're closer to like the mafia, where it's like mm-hmm. they, you know,
yeah,
you know, do the
that's
drugs.
A better example, like actually
yeah. Well yeah yeah
yeah, such a better example, because I feel like the mafia itself is not like no one's like legit being like no the being in the mafia is illegal, but like they definitely do illegal shit.
Yeah, well I don't know if in the mafia they like claim it, if they like maybe there's like known mafiosos, but I don't know if yeah. they go out and claim it.
No,
but these guys do.
Yeah,
the top yeah the higher levels anyways, even yeah. though they wear the pinkies, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But many Yakuza start out as young as junior high or high school.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, usually you start out joining like these smaller street gangs that are mm-hmm. like the like petty, like yeah. runners or whatever. Like, and then you work your way up through the ranks.
Is it like the mafia in the sense of where it doesn't necessarily need to be like something you would get initiated into, like a gang? Is it more of like family? Like, can it be like a family thing?
Yes. So okay. yeah, that's a okay. big, part of it. It's like, I don't, yeah. Like the head of each, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, clan or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Refers to themselves for the Japanese word as father, and everybody's either brother or cousin, and it's very much like that. And to the point where the members actually have to forsake their true families, so they have to like actually be like, "I'm not involved with you anymore." Like, these are my families,
these are to cement
that loyalty. Yeah.
So this is heavy.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, like, and the businesses they do is more, like, is mostly drug trafficking, human trafficking, and, like, using intimidation and scare tactics to buy stock of larger companies and stuff like that. So, not great. But I am super fascinated by it. So, I would, like, I could talk about it all day. And actually, if anybody has any, like, good books or movies about it, leave them in the comments on our Instagram at ontheirbehalf_pod, because I am always down to learn more. So, all of that to say, Hiroshi was, like, this low-level Yakuza, but, like, obviously thought he was, like, a fucking big shot. In reality, he was a poor loser that never would have even risen in the ranks and probably would have been, like, fucking used as like bait or something and killed because he's so stupid. But he was committing crimes that true Yakuza say are like off limits for their members, because they still like have that like chivalry thing, even though they're like human traffickers. Like, how does that work? But whatever. But it's real. It's like banned for Yakuza to commit theft or robbery, and like that's what Hiroshi was doing. They don't really mention rape, but
well, that's what I was saying. So like, or what I was thinking was that, you know, human trafficking in a sense to them might be like a under the same kind of umbrella as rape. Women, you know, I just feel like we've always been exploited in a way that's like, this is cool, but like other things that clearly are not as traumatizing are okay. So I don't know.
I don't really know, because like in their like code of conduct, one of them is like, you must act chivalrous to people that you're doing business with and people that like are your enemies. It's like you have to be chivalrous to all of them, but it like doesn't really, and like other Yakuza's like girlfriends are off limits, but it doesn't, otherwise it doesn't like say shit. So I don't really know. I'm not gonna like try to like speculate on,
but is chivalry that, only women?
I think there's a strong association with chivalry and women, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. I think it can be applied to anything. It is also a translation from whatever word in Japanese that they're using. So it's like, I'm associating like medieval Eurocentric chivalry, which is maybe different. Doesn't work
because here. The medieval chivalry is a system with the definition is the system with its religious, moral, and social code. So it's like this kind of blanket code that you have that you abide, that everybody kind of like abides by. But I do know that there's like the chivalrous,
so maybe that's a modern behavior connotation.
Like, yeah, our modern chivalry is courteous behavior, especially that of men towards women,
right?
So their chivalry could mean something completely different.
Yeah. I think it probably is mostly just, like, courteous behavior. Yeah. Which is kind of funny. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to, like, get into, like, debating about Yakuza, because that scares me. But I'm just going to say this one particular guy, Hiroshi, was not following protocol. So on November 25th, 1988... Junko was riding her bike home from work when, out of nowhere, a young man runs at her and kicks her off her bike. And she goes flying, and then the guy takes off running. So she's, like, shaken up and scraped up and freaking out. And so she, like, tries to collect herself and, like, ride home, but she's just trying to, like, walk her bike because it's just scary. And then she's surprised when Hiroshi runs up to her and tells her that he was just down the block and saw the whole thing happen. And he asks her if she's okay, if she needs any help. She says she's okay, but then he insists on walking her home safely just to be sure.
Okay.
So Hiroshi leads her down the streets and then tells her he just has to make a stop at this warehouse, and Junko follows him inside. And the warehouse is totally abandoned. And now Hiroshi is like, guess what? I planned this whole thing. That guy that knocked you down was my friend, and he was acting on my orders because I'm Yakuza. And Junko's obvious. Yeah. So Junko's like, obviously paralyzed with fear, because if you invoke Yakuza, like, that's some bigger shit. It's not just like a guy acting on his own.
Yeah.
So like, you don't fuck with that shit, you know? And she can't outrun him because she's hurt from her fall. So she just, and she's a young, obedient woman.
Yeah.
So she, I don't know what she could do.
Yeah. I thought that when you said earlier about, like, I mean, I know good girl is probably a little bit different. Like, what you were saying is just, like, I don't know what that would mean. But that's, like, very common in their culture, is that women abide by very different rules than men, and they have to be submissive to men, not just men that they're, you know, like, it's just like men in general they have to be submissive to, rather than it just being like being submissive to your husband or boyfriend or whatever.
I don't know exactly about that. I'm gonna say that, and I want to be careful about making like broad generalizations about
Obedience
for high schoolers and students to parents and authority figures. Mm-hmm. I know that to be a big deal in the context of this case. I don't know about, like, outside of it. I know I don't want to say stereotypes, but
no.
I know the impression I have, but I haven't, like, researched that to know about it.
Yeah, what it is specifically. But can understand her in this moment being like, okay, this is a man.
Yeah.
And regardless, in a lot of different cultures, that men are the superior. So you act accordingly, in a sense.
And when your life is in danger, you do what you're told.
You do what you're told. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, and of course, what does he do? But he tells her that he will kill her if she doesn't do what he says. So,
of course,
you know. Of course, Hiroshi rapes Junko in the warehouse. Ugh. And then he takes her to a hotel where he rapes her again.
Is the guy that he said works for him that made her fall or whatever, is he there too, or it's just him?
It's just Hiroshi.
Okay. All right.
But just wait.
Okay.
At the hotel, Hiroshi calls three of his friends and brags about the rape, including the guy that knocked her off the bike. So he and these three friends, the guy that knocked her off the bike is named Shinji Minato, another friend Joe Ogura, and the last friend is Yasushi Watanabe, are all in this street gang together and worked together in their, like, robbing and raping women in the area. So this is, like, not uncommon for them. One of the friends, Joe Ogura, said that Hiroshi should keep Junko in the room and to curry favor with, like, higher ups in the Yakuza, invite them over so that they can rape her too. At 3 a.m., Hiroshi, I guess they don't want to pay for the hotel room anymore or something, I don't really know. At 3 a.m., Hiroshi takes Junko to a park where Minato, Ogura, and Watanabe are waiting. They threaten to kill her and her family if she doesn't comply, so just operating on these fear tactics. And the boys, who they're all 17 and 18, they move Junko to a house in the Ayase district of Adachi in Tokyo and gang rape her there.
Oh, my God.
This house was owned by Shinji Minato's parents, but because he had pledged allegiance to the Yakuza, they basically just, like, leave him to his own devices because they're, like, they're afraid of him.
Oh, they don't live there anymore.
They do live there, but they just, it's just a bad situation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, on November 27th, 1988, Junko's parents contacted the police about Junko's disappearance. Because she wasn't home in 2 days, and that's very unlike her.
Yeah.
So, somehow, and it is very unclear how, the boys find out about this, that the police have been, like, alerted, which makes me think that they have some connection in the police.
I just thought that. I was like, I bet you there's somebody in the police department.
For Yakuza, it's not surprising. But because of this, they make Junko call home and tell her parents she'd run away, but that she's safe and staying with a friend. So then her parents call the police back and, like, tell them that, so nobody's ever looking for Junko.
Wow.
Trigger warning that the next section of this is very graphic and brutal. And if you want to skip ahead about 3.5 minutes where we pick up. Thanks. And these horrible boys kept Junko prisoner for 40 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ugh. And during that time, they repeatedly raped her and invited other Yakuza to come and rape her. And it's estimated that she was raped 500 times.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They made her sleep outside on the balcony, and it's winter. They force-fed her alcohol and milk. I don't know why milk. They made her eat cockroaches and drink her own urine. They forced her to smoke cigarette after cigarette after cigarette, inhale paint thinner. And most of the time they forced her to be naked to, like, humiliate and debase her. I'm going to try, like, I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to walk a line of, like, this is what happened, but also be, like, not overly gratuitous, but there's, like, kind of no way to get around that just because of how awful this all is.
Oh my God, but, I can't believe that. I'm, like, so, like,
I know.
I was not ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The four fuckers would assault her with foreign objects, including light bulbs and lit fireworks.
What?
They somehow, like, tied her hands up and hung her from the ceiling and used her body as a punching bag. Hiroshi in particular would use, like, flick lighter fluid on her legs and burn her. On top of this, Junko was forced to pretend to be Hiroshi's girlfriend while Shinji's parents were around. Because they were afraid of them being turned in, but because of, like, her injuries, it became clear, like, the parents knew what was going on, but because Shinji was Yakuza, they were too afraid to intervene, so they just, like, didn't ever do anything or say anything to anyone. So
did they not hear, did she not scream, or
it didn't matter, it didn't seem to matter.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, obviously, this, like, really physically, mentally, everything fucked up Junko.
Yeah.
And her organs were so badly damaged, she couldn't keep any food or water down, which, like, so if she was throwing up, they would beat her more. She, like, her wounds were becoming infected. She was too weak to walk downstairs to use the toilet. And she had brain damage from all the beating, so she would have seizures, which they thought she was faking, so they would beat her more.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, I'm not exactly sure when in the 40 days, but Junko did manage to call the police, but before she could say anything, they caught her. So another another squeamish trigger warning. Hiroshi lit her feet on fire so she could never run away.
Oh my god.
I'm literally, like, I have that pain. Like, you know when you feel pain? Like,
I know. I'm only, like, I just have to, like, do that. Like, I know. This is why it's, yeah, it took so long to do this. And Junko begged them to just kill her, but they didn't. Which I just is the most heartbreaking.
This is like this. I mean, wow! Like this did not. Like, yeah, of course they wouldn't, because they're getting fucking off on her torture, on her pain. Like, these people are not. Oh my god, I can't even imagine.
Just, it's like beyond. It's beyond just like. She rejected me.
Yeah.
And then it's like the four of them, and they were doing horrible things constantly before this, but they had never done something like this before. And it was like, it was literally just her saying no to him that then exploded in this way for all four of them. And then, like, there never seemed to be a moment where any of them were like, hey, maybe this isn't what we do, you know?
Yeah.
I just, like, I don't understand. They all were sort of, seemed to just be acting as one. And just, like.
I just, oh my god.
It's, I can't.
And it also, like, what you described, you know, from, like, what they are, like, what, I'm sorry, what was the name of the.
Yakuza.
Like, even this from what you.
This is not.
This is not them.
No.
Like, I don't even know them. I haven't, like, I haven't researched what, like, Yakuza really is. But this does not seem like that's.
And what, like,
they are.
Like,
it was only, like, identifying as Yakuza was only to, like, instill fear in her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or, like, in general, and, of, like, oh.
Yeah. That's my impression, too. And my impression is, like, I know that, like, other members came and, like, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But my impression is, like, that was more, like, them going to sex workers kind of level things. Rape is rape is rape. Mm-hmm, but the torture, which, and rape is torture. Yeah. I don't know how I'm, like, drawing a, like, delineating this, because it's like none of this is okay.
No, and it. But it's they so were the traumatizing. Ones
committing the violence. Again, I'm like, that's not even really a line. I don't know.
No, but I think it's there is no real way to delineate anything. I think that everything that's happening is so. Absolutely horrible and horrifying and traumatizing and just, like, just evil. Like, all of this is just so evil that there really is no way to really.
No.
Oh my god.
But it's not sanctioned. This isn't, like, the normal thing that the group would do. And it really is just, like, I think that they're, like, if I'm thinking of it from, like, the, like, Yakuza point of view, they're a fucking liability.
Yeah.
You know? I think like, this would be, like, more than cutting your pinky off. Like, mm-hmm. this shit. Like,
I mean,
this is just.
Yeah, like, the beyond. Yakuza in general, like, even whatever definition they want to assign to the word chivalry.
Right.
This is definitely not it. And this, to, like, I mean, fuck. You would want to get rid of, legit get rid of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't know how you, reconcile chivalry and human trafficking.
No, but like, you know, I don't believe this, but many people that do it believe it's a legit business.
So, like, it's, you know, I mean, I'm sure you can find justification in that, but, like, this, I don't know how I could ever, I never thought that I would ever say that, like, sex trafficking, like, this, there's anything worse than certain things, but this is absolutely just grotesquely awful, and I can't even, I can't even, there's not even a word to describe what's happening here.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, eventually, Junko was in such bad shape that the boys lost sexual interest in her, which, like, all of that sentence, I'm just like, how?
No. And this was not about fucking sex, first of all.
No.
No. Fuck that.
But, like,
no.
Just, yeah. But because of that,
it was about power, and they no longer, like, yeah, no.
She wasn't, it wasn't, like, a challenge. Even, like,
I don't know. And that's probably what it is. It's like, at this point, there's no, she has been so bad, she is so weak and badly beaten that they're not getting any gratification out of her pain anymore. Mm-hmm. When pain is the constant foundation of something, it starts to not even be pain anymore. So I don't even, this isn't about sex. This is all about fucking power. And when something doesn't fight back, you don't have power anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this ended up. Oh fuck. Oh my God. I hate this. I hate this story so much.
I know. But because
case, not story, case.
Yeah. Because of that, the boys went out, and I'm saying boys because it's like, I know we say like they're men and then therefore they're responsible, but like, I mm-hmm. don't even want to give them like the, that element
of. Not even
of,
human.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, these animals. That's yes, these animals.
Yep.
Went out and kidnapped and raped another 19-year-old woman.
Oh.
But they let her go.
The 19-year-old or
yeah, the 19-year-old.
Oh. Well,
so they just like went back to what they had been doing before. Which I'm like, in what world does that feel like a relief?
No.
Like, honest, So, finally, on January 4th, 1989, Hiroshi challenged Junko to a game of mahjong. And somehow, even with the state that she was in, she won. And this was, like, the final emasculating straw for Hiroshi. And, like, he and the other boys just, like, the other animals waged a full-on attack on her. And, like, all of the stuff that they had been doing before, just, like, all at once compounded times a million. And Junko did try to defend herself and fight back, but eventually she succumbed to her injuries and was murdered.
I don't have any words.
I know.
Wow.
They wrapped her body in a blanket and went to like a lot where people used to like dump old appliances, and they found like a barrel and put her body inside and then filled the barrel with concrete. And on January 23rd, 1989, Hiroshi and Joe Ogura were arrested for the rape of the 19-year-old woman.
I was gonna say, if this does not end with them at least getting arrested and fucking, I would be so mad. I can't even describe how angry I am
really
right now.
You're not going to be happy. But,
oh, God, no.
So they're arrested for that rape, but Hiroshi is a fucking idiot, and thank God that he is, but he got confused somehow and thought that, like, they were talking about Junko. So, and I'm like, with all the shit that he's doing, how could he keep anything straight?
Straight, you know? Yeah. Like, how does he know from his, like, fucking left hand from the fucking anything? Yeah.
But Hiroshi thought that Joe Ogura had ratted him out. So, in what I'm imagining Hiroshi thought was a smart move to make him seem like he was on the cop's side, he told them where Junko's body was. Meanwhile, the cops are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even know she was missing because the parents retracted the their call. So they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the next day they recovered Junko's body. And all four boys were arrested, in addition to several other accomplices whose DNA was found on her body. So the trial, because all of these horrifying animals were minors, or all but one of them or whatever, the court was withholding their names, but there were reporters at a newspaper called Shukan Bunshun magazine who realized that Junko's name was being publicized, and the court was saying that about her, and she was a minor, so they took issue with the victim's privacy being deemed not important as the assailant.
Oh my god. Fuck.
Who literally tortured her to death.
Fuck everybody.
So these journalists found out the boys' names and published them.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And I'm going to say them again for all you guys. Hiroshi Miyano, Shinji Minato, Joe Oguna, and Yasushi Watanabe.
Oh my god.
So these four were tried in a lower court for younger minors.
Like juvenile court kind of?
Juvenile, yeah. And it focused, I mean, the idea behind this court is that it focused on rehabilitating minors rather than dealing out harsh sentences. So, the trial was pretty...
I'm sorry. I don't think that these kids or whoever... No, these actual animals can be rehabilitated. Absolutely not.
Just...
What world do you think that they are ever, ever going to learn from this? Ever? I'm so angry. I'm sorry. I'm so angry.
Don't apologize, because this is, like, fucking ridiculous. All of it. And Hiroshi, who is deemed the leader, because he was, really, it was like, he was sentenced to 17 years in prison.
So he's out right now. Okay. All right. All right. I'll wait. I'll wait.
Shinji Minato was sentenced to 4 to 6 years. Yasushi Watanabe was sentenced to 3 to 4 years. And Joe Oguna was sentenced to 4 to 5 years. Which is fucking laughable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why? Don't even sentence them if that's what you're going to do. Like,
Jesus.
Just infuriating.
Yeah.
And each of them did the appeals process, but they got their appeals process went through a judge named, I'm not going to get it right, and I wish that I could, but, a judge named Ryuji Yanase, who was not the initial judge. I couldn't find who the initial, like, sentencing judge was, but new judge, who is shocked at how light the sentences were. So instead of granting their appeals, the judge upped their sentences.
Oh.
I was like, I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't know you could. I really didn't. But I'm very happy about it.
Right. Well, there...
Oh, no.
Still were tried in the lower court, so there wasn't all that much that could be done. But Hiroshi went up from 17 to 20 years. Shinji went up to 9 years. Yasushi up to 7 years. And Joe up to 8 years, which is still ridiculous.
Yeah. It's still absolutely ridiculous. Not enough.
Not enough by a long shot. Like, these guys just...
Yeah. Wow.
Just so bad. That's not even, like, nearly enough to, like,
no.
For it.
Like, no. Nowhere near. Death. Death yeah. is pretty much it. Like, that's equal, all.
I want what yeah. happened to Junko oh, to happen yeah. to them yeah. a million wanna... times over. That's what I
want.
I want
a fucking eye for an eye. I want yeah. a tooth for a tooth. I yeah. want them to be.
Yeah. So Junko's parents won civil suits against Hiroshi and Shinji's parents. And that's about the last, the only like
yeah.
neutral thing to happen wow. here. Joe Ogura was released in 2004. In July 2004, he was arrested for assaulting a man that he thought his girlfriend was cheating on him with. Which I'm like, girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you have a fucking girlfriend?
But all these psychopaths have girlfriends, wives, and kids. They have all these fucking, like, cover lives.
Yeah. So he was arrested for that. He was sentenced to 7 years, but has since been released because 2004 was seven. Like, he's just out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Ogura's mother vandalized Junko's grave, blaming her for ruining her son's life. So.
I'm really trying not to scream right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really, really, really holding back. Wow. Wow. The audacity this bitch has. Are you kidding me?
Just are this you kidding fucking me? Bitch. I'm like, how about you look at the way you fucking raised your son?
Your son. And it's all like, oh, you don't, she doesn't want to assume the responsibility that she raised a literal monster. That she's going to blame somebody who was actually tortured for 40 days? How about your son gets off on torturing women? Oh my God, I can't believe this.
Wow. Like, what is anybody's worst nightmare? Times a billion.
And like, every what aspect a of warped this. Sense of like, all things that you have. Wow, I can't.
Like, look. Look at your fucking self, lady.
Yeah. Like, and then to have the audacity to go to her grave, to actually take a trip to the grave,
right? Like,
wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Shinji Minato was released and moved back in with his mother, and he was unable to get a job, which oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like, okay. And
oh, you're a really good worker?
We're supposed to feel bad that you can't get a job?
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
In 2018, he was arrested for attempted murder after beating a man with a metal rod and slashing his throat. So everybody's just doing great over here.
God.
And, like, this rehabilitation is really going well.
It's really working well.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that they were tried as juveniles and not as adults and yep. Got their chance at rehabilitation.
They were 17 and 18. Like, why would you do that?
Not try them
Why would
as
you
adults?
Not try them as adults? Yeah. I don't understand.
No.
Yasushi Watanabe just, like, sort of disappeared because I can't find any information anywhere.
I mean, I hope he, like, dug his own grave. How about that? Like, who gives a shit what the fuck happened to him? I hope he just, like, tripped and fell and, like, hit his head on a pencil and it went right through his eye. I don't know why that whole image just came to me. But, yeah.
I liked it.
I hope that something that painful happened to him.
Yeah. And then Hiroshi Miyano was released in 2010. In 2013, he was arrested for fraud. But due to insufficient evidence, he was released.
Of course.
So, obviously, these light sentences did raise, like, a huge outcry from the public.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully
and then,
so.
Yeah, and the consequent arrests after they released raised the question about, like, how like what you're saying, how mm-hmm. good is this rehabilitation? Like, not that fucking good.
No.
Or you can identify, maybe it works for other people, but you can identify when people are too far gone.
Yeah.
Or, like, too beyond it.
And I'm not sure what, like, the justice system is like in Japan, but I'm just saying, like, at this point, in America, not that we're the best, but, like, there's a process in which that you are analyzing the evidence and analyzing whether somebody acted as a child, yeah. like, or if they act, these are not child no. crimes.
It's like not. It's a like child. Folie à deux, wow. but like,
yeah,
folie à quatre, like folie à four.
It's just out.
But even that is even... not. It's just. I yeah. do not understand.
No.
I do not understand. I don't think it's understandable.
No, I don't think we would
fucking
ever
cry. Like,
ugh, it's absolutely fucking horrible.
This poor girl.
And her poor family.
I know.
Her poor fucking family. And these people, wow. No, I don't understand, and I never will. I never will. I never will understand this. This is an absolutely horrific story.
And case. I just, like, wow. And it just is, like, using the gang aspect of it, or the Yakuza aspect of it, as, like, mm-hmm. a cover.
Yeah.
Because this reminds me of Ramona Moore, like, the first.
Yeah.
First yeah. case we did.
Yeah. And it's like because assignings, like, it's almost like they're used not only as a cover, but it's a crutch. It's a crutch to, and also like an excuse for what they were doing. And maybe, I mean, I'm just speculating here, but like the Yakuza, you know, It was a family type situation. It was like an organization, I guess, where you protect your own. And that idea, these kids, like, they were 17 and 18, but like, think about what your mentality was when you were 17 and 18. Very different than you would be now. But thinking like, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I know because I'm going to claim Yakuza, it's okay. That I'm going to get away with it. Because yeah. I'm claiming some, you know, whatever is going to protect me. But also you're instilling fear in everybody around you to get away with whatever you want to get away yeah. with.
And the truth is, like, if you look at any hierarchical institution, that's a hard word for me to say,
hierarchical.
Yeah. If you look at any of those institutions, right, like, yeah. the lowest levels, mm-hmm. You have not earned any protection, yeah. any right to claim it, anything. And these guys were just fucking flaunting it, mm-hmm. which means that they were, like, not too armchair diagnosed, but I'm going to, like,
yeah.
violent, narcissistic, sociopathic, psychopath, whatever, like, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing, where they just were doing whatever the fuck they wanted,
yeah.
using whatever the fuck they could to get away with it, which means that no matter what thing that they picked, they were gonna do this.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the Yakuza, like, there's a lot to unpack there and everything, and like a culture that I don't know the first thing about, whatever, but like that's why I feel like it's just beyond that. It's beyond it, and
way beyond.
I felt like this was important to share,
mm-hmm.
Not only for Junko's legacy, but for anybody to, like, if you think listening to somebody is going to get you out safely, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't yeah. know.
And it's like, it's
I don't
not
think
always
she did anything. I don't know what else she could have done. I'm not, like,
no,
not there's to, like, nothing put any of it on her. But, like, they were systematic. They planned this out. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. I think that, like, at, yes, she, there's nothing she, like, complying is not always the right answer, but all, you can never tell, you know, like, because there's situations where we've seen cases where people do comply and then they do survive.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I'm thankful that you told this story. I think this is like the ultimate on their behalf. Like, she, no one spoke up with for her, and still at this point, 1988,
yeah,
like no one has spoken on, for her, and has, like, at this point, people are still defacing her grave because they're blaming her for some reason, mm-hmm. and it's like she doesn't deserve that. She hasn't deserved any of this. But at the end of the day, it's like whatever. In the moment, I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know if she ever thought that, like, she, if I afraid. Fight, bite. Yeah. And I think it had to do with the Yakuza. Like, I think that fear.
Yeah.
Because why else would he say it when he sees her, when he finally gets her alone?
It's what, it's, it was, say, his golden ticket.
Yeah. It was his way to be like, okay, I'm Yakuza. And she's like, okay, I just need to comply. I just need to, you know, do everything he says, and I'm going to make it out of here because he's whatever she thought he needed or wanted from her. It never in a million years would she have thought that. But it's like he used the one thing that he knew he could break her.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I blame a lot of people. I blame the parents. I blame...
Yeah.
Like, your child is repeatedly raping and torturing somebody for 40 days in your home and you're afraid of him? Oh, I fucking dare my child to... Oh, my God. And this is also another thing I kept feeling while you were talking was just, like, I understand being afraid of, like, the Yakuza and being afraid of, like... But your kid? I'll knock you into next Tuesday. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. The Yakuza won't even know you exist because I'm gonna fucking kill you myself.
Yeah.
Like,
I wondered if the dad was involved or something.
Oh.
Or, because his brother was one of the people arrested, too. Shinji's brother.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I didn't specify that, but...
But...
Now you know.
No, I do. And you... So but I, you I was, did say that, you know... It's but a family had, type thing. So right. Who knows but if he there was had, more people involved.
He had, like, in effect, cut off the family, but yet was still there and still living there. And, like, it was kind of unclear.
Because is the Yakuza, like, supplying them with housing? No, what are
they
going to, like,
they have frat houses? No, I don't know.
No, like, of course, he was a fucking kid. Right. And he's... Of course, and they were, needing his
they were
family,
in high same. School. They all went to high school together. They're in school. Yeah. There's no teachers or, like, or maybe there are. Ugh. And, like, what do you just are like, oh, those are the Yakuza boys.
Wow.
And PE today. Like.
Jesus.
No. Just, like, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody failed. And I'm like, don't get walked home by.
No.
A guy that you're creeped out by. Again, not her fault at all.
No, it's not her fault.
But I guess if there's a lesson to learn here, I don't know. I have no, like,
I don't know if there is a lesson to learn here, because guess what? It's like, at the end of the day, there's so many different scenarios in which you can act the same way as somebody else that survived an attack like this and get a different result. I think at the...
Yeah, if she had lost the Mahjong game, would he have killed her for not trying? Probably.
Yeah. And that's also a fucking mind fuck of a thing. Like, why play a game? Like, it's almost
It was all a game to him.
Yeah, like, it's so adolescent to think that way. Like, I'm gonna see if she can beat me. But also, like, there's so many factors being played into this. Like, adolescence, there's this whole ego thing, there's this whole power struggle thing happening.
Yeah.
It's just so many things are happening, and it's just... I hate to say it, it's fascinating, but it's also horrifying. Like,
yeah,
absolutely horrifying. Oh, my God.
Yeah. There were, I think, like, two movies made about this since. No. But, the way they were described, it was, like, exploitative and not...
Mm-mm. Nope.
Not done right. And the Japanese movies, I haven't seen them. And it did get, like, a public outcry. And I don't know if, like, the whatever, like, specific Yakuza they were associated with ever, like, said or did anything. But they never claimed them.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do... So we always post pictures. I'm going to be very intentional with what we post. If you do your own research on this, please, please, please be very careful. Because the boys took photos and they're online. And I really don't... I'm just saying that as a warning. I did my best to avoid seeing it, but they're there. Wow. And I wish that they weren't. So please just be careful if you do that. Because that's not how we should see Junko. That's not who she is. That's who those animals are. And we don't give a shit about them.
No.
Junko should not have died. She should not have been tortured, starved, and humiliated. She should not have been raped and threatened. She should not have been pushed off her bike. She should have said no to a boy she was not interested in, graduated from high school, worked her way up the ranks of an electronic retailer, gone to college, traveled, anything. Anything but this. This week's episode was written by me, Devin Balsamo-Gillis, with music by Holly Amber Church, social media by Kelsey Grunberg.
For all of our pictures and sources, check us out on Instagram at ontheirbehalf_pod and on Twitter at ontheirbehalf_.
On their behalf, thank you for listening.